Now let us turn to Acts chapter 23, verse 1. Acts chapter 23, verse 1. I will read to you again. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." Any friends, can we say like Paul, "I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day"? What does it mean when we live in all good conscience before God, not before man? Many people, when we share with them the gospel and we say to them about sins, and they take sins very lightly. They say that I have never committed any serious sins. I have not done anything against my conscience. They think that their conscience is their judge, and because they do not feel anything against their conscience, so they are okay, they are fine. They don't need to repent. They don't need the Savior Jesus Christ. So is our conscience a reliable judge? Many years ago, when India was under the colonial rule of the British, and there was a custom when the husband died first, and the wife was forced to bury alive, to be buried alive with her husband. And when the British came and they banned this custom, and the Indians requested them, "Please let us continue this custom because we do this with our clear conscience." And the officials, the British officials, replied, "If your conscience tells you to do this, our conscience will tell us to hang you." So we see that conscience is not a reliable judge. Your conscience may be different, and my conscience may be different, depending on the standard of morality or ethic or conduct that we accepted. So many people are deceived because they think that they have good conscience. They have nothing against their conscience because their standard of morality is human or worldly. So may God help us to tune our conscience to God's standards of morality, so that we may acknowledge our sins, our shortcomings, and we may repent, and we may fully submit ourselves to the Lord and to His Word. We know that when we commit sins the first time, our conscience brings a feeling of remorse in our hearts, and we can't sleep well. But if we continue committing sin, and our conscience will be dulled and not more sensitive, and day by day it will be hardened. For example, a murderer, the first time he murdered someone, he surely could not sleep well. But if he kept on murdering others, in the end he will see murder is a norm for him, without any conscience stricken in his heart. So it is serious for us if we keep on singing until the day when we will see it is a norm. For example, many years ago, the homosexuality was opposed, was against by many people, but nowadays it is a norm. Why? Because the conscience of people is dulled. It is not sharp anymore. It's not sensitive anymore. That is the reason why nowadays many people are tolerant to sins, even to wrong doctrines, to they compromise God's word and God's truth. So may God help us to have a good conscience. My dear friends, without a good conscience from God, we do not know that what we are doing is wrong. Another example. If our conscience is tuned to God's standard, to God's word, we will submit ourselves to God's word perfectly, completely. No matter what others may say. In Revelation chapter 22, God does not allow anyone to add any word, to subtract any word from God's word. So if our conscience is tuned to God's word, we dare not add to or subtract from any word from God's word. But nowadays we see many people take it lightly. They don't care. They don't mind. They say that, oh, as long as the doctrine of salvation is there, all kinds of modern versions are good. So their conscience is not clear. It's not good. And cannot discern what is right, what is wrong. Their conscience is not up to God's standard, God's word. God's word said not to add to, not to subtract from, but their conscience is not tuned to God's standard. So they think that what they are doing is right. It is very serious. And even they are attacking God's word, and they think that they are serving God, they are worshiping God. So if we do not have a good conscience before God, what we are doing, and we think that it is right. So through the Bible, we know the functions of our conscience. Many definitions of conscience through philosophers or psychologists are not complete or are not right. Some say that God speaks to us through our conscience. It is wrong. Because our conscience, without the Lord, without God's word, is not reliable, is derived. So God speaks to us through His word, the Bible, the written word, and through Jesus Christ, His Son, the living word. And another concept of conscience. Conscience is a feeling, is a sense of right or wrong. It is not complete. Conscience is not only a sense, but a faculty of our heart, our mind, to bear witness when we do according to God's will, when we do what is right, or to accuse us when we do something wrong, or to excuse us or to defend us when we do what is right. And it is dangerous also when some people say, I live according to my conscience, or my conscience leads me, guides me. It is dangerous. we must not just in our conscience. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and he says that, "For I know nothing of myself, by myself or against myself, but yet, not because of this, I am justified. It is the Lord who is my judge." So, we cannot depend on our conscience. Our conscience must be submissive to the Lord and to God's word. And we cannot know more about God or God's word through our good conscience. No. We can know more about God and His word through the Holy Spirit, who illumines our heart. And our good conscience cannot save us. We are saved by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. So we are clear. Our conscience is a faculty of our heart. In the Old Testament, there is no term for conscience. And it uses the term heart to refer to the special functions of conscience as used in the New Testament. For example, when David's heart is stricken or smitten because he committed sin or because he numbered the people. So our conscience is a faculty of our heart. And due to the corrupt and the depraved and sinful nature of human beings, our conscience needs to be cleansed and needs to be redeemed and needs to be sanctified. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. So, my dear friends, the first step that you and I can have a good conscience is that we must be saved. We must be reborn again. Like Reverend Aristotle just quoted in the Bible, God must give us a new spirit, a new heart, a heart of the flesh, and He must take away our heart of stone. That is the first step to have a good heart. So those who are not born again, if they think that they have a good conscience, they will deceive themselves. So may God help us to see this, so that we should make sure that we are born again. We have a new heart, a new spirit, and our conscience is cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is delivered from the power of darkness to the kingdom of light. If we are in darkness, we can't discern what is right, what is wrong. A real diamond or a fake one, we cannot discern. So we need the light. We need the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And we need God's word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we need God's truth. Send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them lead us. So we do need the Lord Jesus Christ and God's word to enlighten our heart and our conscience, so that we may have a sharp discernment and we may be sensitive. Another example. If we do not commit ourselves to the Lord, and if we are not submissive to God's word and to the control of the Holy Spirit, we think it is okay for us to go to entertainment centers to enjoy worldly pleasures or to listen to worldly music. and our conscience doesn't feel anything wrong. But if we are submissive to the Lord and His Word, and the Holy Spirit will sanctify us, separate our conscience from sin, and make it more sensitive, so that we may say that, oh, if we only listen to worldly music, we feel with our heart has no peace at all. So the more we know the Lord and the more we are close to the Lord and God's Word, the more our conscience is sensitive. So my dear friends, we should not look at men when we say, oh, others also do that, then do this, so I also can. No, we should look at the Lord Jesus Christ, our perfect example. God gave us His Son as our perfect example, and we have to follow Him. He is our Savior. We must follow Him. And we must set God's Word as the standard. So, according to the Bible, we know that sin is transgression of the Lord. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. And all unrighteousness is sin. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17. And if we know what is good and we do not do it, it is sin. James chapter 4, verse 17. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans chapter 14, verse 33. So before we know God's Word, we think that, oh, our conscience is good. But now, through God's Word, we know that if we do not keep God's commandments, if we transgress it, if we break God's law, God's commandment, that is sin. So when we tune our conscience to God's Word, God's commandments, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, my dear friends, that is God's standard. And if we tune our conscience to God's standard, we will see our shortcomings and we will repent. And the Lord Jesus says that if he who loves me will keep my commandments and keep my words, in John chapter 14, verse 21, verse 23. So it means we have to love God's word with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And if we fail to do that, it is sin. In the church camp, I share with the brethren that thank God for His preserved word for us. The Greek text and the Hebrew text that underlie the King James Bible. Because the corrupt text, it has about 9,970 Greek words added to or subtracted from or changed. 9,970 Greek words. But many people, they take it lightly. Why? Their conscience is not sharp, in a sense, to God's word, to God's standard. God is holy. So we look unto the Lord Jesus Christ, our perfect example. When Jesus was here on earth in his days, there is no original manuscripts of the Hebrew Bible, only the copies. And Jesus, the all-knowing God, he didn't see any disparities, any mistakes. He never doubted. He never questioned. Do the scholars nowadays know the Bible as well as our Lord Jesus Christ? Do they understand God's Word, the Bible, as well as our Lord Jesus Christ? So we just follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ believes in God's word, the Bible, and he knows the Bible very well, and he not only believes and knows, but he also lives by God's word, the Bible, and he uses God's word, the Bible, to preach, to teach, to refute against his enemies. So we just follow him. And I just gave to our brethren some verses. For example, they omit the term Christ. Christ means Messiah. But they omit it in the correct text. For example, in John chapter 4, when the Samaritans heard Jesus Christ themselves, and they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saying, but because we heard him ourselves, and we believe that this indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." But the corrupt text and modern versions omit Christ. So who is the Savior of the world? We believe that this is indeed the Savior of the world without Christ. And in Matthew chapter 23, verse 8, "Ye should not be called rabbis, because there is only one master, even Christ, and all are brethren." And they omit Christ. So one is your master, and all is brethren. So who is the master? Other religions can quote, then take this verse out of the context, and they mean their religious leader. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every man who believes." So they omit Christ. So other religions can quote this verse because they think, they believe that their belief or their doctrine is also a gospel. And not ashamed of the gospel. Whose gospel? And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And they just omit Christ. "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." So they can prefer, they can believe, oh, him, I mean Buddha, Mohammed, or other prophets. So we thank God so much. We must have a sharp and clear conscience so that only a few omissions we cannot stand. We are angry. We cannot take it lightly. And many other omissions. For example, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, "God and they change to he." A total difference. So may God help us to have a clear conscience. In the Bible, there are several kinds or types of conscience. You can turn to the Bible. First, it is evil conscience. Evil conscience in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Evil conscience. We thank God that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is able to cleanse us from our evil conscience so that we may serve him. And second, a seared conscience. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 3, a seared or hardened, a burnt conscience. Why? Because they follow the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils and lies, hypocrisy. So that conscience is seared. My dear friends, wrong doctrines is able to affect our conscience. For example, I met some Jehovah Witnesses, and they don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ is God, and they don't believe the Holy Spirit is God, a divine person. They don't believe. Why? Because of the wrong doctrines. Their wrong doctrines. And their followers also accept the wrong doctrines. So when we explain to them the truth, they refute against us. They refute against us. They argue against us. It is dangerous, my dear friends, if we accept wrong doctrines. And we, our conscience, may also accept it and will defend it. And other unbiblical practices also. For example, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't take blood in blood transfusion because they think that it is like eating blood and God forbid it. So that is the wrong concept, wrong interpretation, because they accept it to their conscience. When you ask a Jehovah's Witness member to get blood transfusion, they deny. And then it says, my conscience does not allow me to do it. So we must ask the Holy Spirit to deliver us, deliver our conscience from all wrong doctrines, wrong concept. Anything that is not God's word is against God's truth. May the Holy Spirit deliver us, or else we will have a wrong standard, and our conscience is just depends on that wrong standard. And we think that, oh, our conscience is good, but actually it is not good before God. And next we can see a defiled conscience in Titus chapter 1 verse 15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. So if we keep on doing sinful things, are we following the word, our conscience may be defiled, even unbelieving. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So our conscience must up to God's standard. So we may be scared when we doubt God, when we doubt God's word, when we doubt God's sovereignty, when we doubt God's love, God's loving care, God's power. That is sin. So may God help us to have a conscience that tuned up to God's standard, to God's word. And next, we can see a weak conscience. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. And this weak conscience is due to a lack of knowledge of God and of God's word and of God's truth. Because there is only one God, the Father, and there is only one Lord, Jesus Christ. But the Bible tells us that not every man has that knowledge. So the one who believes that there is idol, there is other gods also. So when he eats the food of the idol, his conscience is defiled. If he knows that there is only one God, then no other gods, and idol is nothing, his conscience is not defiled. So my dear friends, if you and I want to have a good conscience, we have to know more about God and God's truth and God's word, so that our conscience is not defiled when we live, when we do against God's word, against God's standard. And next, we see that an offensive conscience, or a blameless, or a clear conscience, in Acts chapter 24, verse 16. I thank God whom I serve from my fathers with a pure. Acts chapter 24, verse 16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. So in order to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man, our conscience must be tuned to God's standard, and we must follow God's standard. And we must have a concern for other brothers and sisters, because not all of us have the same conscience. Some brethren may have a weak conscience, a defiled conscience. And because of their lack of the knowledge of God and God's word, so we should not do anything to offend them. we should not be a stumbling block for them. For example, we know that this brother, because of lack of faith, only his herbs are vegetable. He is a vegetarian. So we should understand that, and we should not despise him or make him embarrassed. We should not judge him. Like in Romans chapter 14, others may think that, oh, this day is more important than other days. We should not despise him or her because of his or her lack of the knowledge of God and God's word. And good conscience, like in Acts chapter 23, verse 1, and in other verses. So how can you and I have a good conscience before God? First, we just said before, we must be sure that we are born again, or else we are in darkness. We were dead in sins and in trespasses. We must be born again. We must be weakened by the Holy Spirit. And then next, we have to keep our conscience tuned to God's word, God's standard. That means we have to read God's word, the Bible, study it, and submit ourselves to it. And the Holy Spirit will upgrade our level of conscience. The things we might do before, now we say, oh, it's wrong, it is unbiblical, it is not pleased in the law. Now we stop, and we may offer our lives, our body, as a living and holy sacrifice unto the Lord. Moment by moment, if we keep ourselves close to the law, the Holy Spirit will upgrade our level of conscience so that it is made more sensitive. And next, we have to keep our conscience pure by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Bible, it tells us the pure conscience, and it is always referred to the ministry, to the service. For example, the Apostle Paul tells us that I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience. And one of the requirements for a deacon in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 9, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. So if we do not have a pure conscience, we cannot serve God, or our service, our ministry, cannot be acceptable before God. So we need to keep our conscience pure. It means any known sins, we should confess and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse us right away. And the Holy Spirit will show us more sins when we read God's Word, the Bible. The Holy Spirit will use God's Word to sanctify us, to cleanse us. So if we do not read the Bible, our conscience cannot be good, and it will become dulled, insensitive. And then, next, we must grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It means that we must know more about the Lord and God's Word, so that our conscience may be upgraded, may be tuned to our perfect example, the Lord Jesus Himself, and to His Word. The lack of the knowledge of God and His truth and His Word will make our conscience weak. So the more we know God's Word, the more we know God, our conscience will be strong. We will have a strong conviction, a firm foundation when we contend for His truth. So in Romans chapter 2, verse 15, tells us about the functions of our conscience. That function is to bear witness and to accuse and to excuse. To bear witness, like what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 9, verse 1, I tell the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. So if we have a good conscience, it will bear witness for us. We will have a strong condition to preach to teach how to live according to God's word. And then we have to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit used one of the functions of our conscience to convict us of our sins and make us feel remorse and have no rest until we repent. So when the Holy Spirit convicts us of things, we should repent right away. And Satan also makes use of our conscience to accuse us, because accusing and excusing. Accusing means to speak against or to condemn, to accuse. And to excusing, it means to speak for or to defend. So when Satan makes use of our conscience to accuse us of our confessed sins, we should not fear him or hear his accusation. We can overcome him through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 12. And for when our conscience is good before God, is tuned up to God's standard, it may defend us, help us, encourage us, strengthen us. For example, in Acts chapter 23, verse 1, before the council, Paul earnestly beholding them, look at them without any fear. And he may say, I have lived with all good conscience before God until this day. If we do not have a good conscience, we cannot stand before our enemies. If we have compromised, so in 1 Timothy chapter 1 tells us about a good conscience. Verse 5. This is the end of commandments. That is the charity or love that is from a pure heart and from out of a good conscience and of unfeigned faith. And after that, in verse 18 and 19, fight a good fight of faith, holding faith and good conscience. So we can fight a good fight of faith if we have good conscience, tune up to God's standard. If we still have sins or wrong doctrines in us, we can't fight a good fight of faith. And we can defend ourselves before our enemies. It is in 1 Peter chapter 2, we can see, I will read to you 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure reaps, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. So we have a good conscience, we can be acceptable unto God even when we suffer misjudgment or persecutions from the enemies. And next, we have to be submissive to the control of the Lord and to His Word. Not only to know more about God and His Word, but we have to be submissive to the Lord and His Word. And we have to show our concerns to our other brethren, because maybe they have weak conscience. We should not judge them or despise them, but we can help them and encourage them to know more about God and His Word. My dear friends, do you and I have a good conscience before God? Without the Lord Jesus Christ as our perfect example, and without God's Word, we will deceive ourselves. And we think that, oh, our conscience is good. Is it okay? Is it fine? I don't need to repent. I don't need to consecrate my life to the Lord. A good conscience must be cleansed must be purified, must be sanctified by the Holy Spirit and by God's words, so that the Holy Spirit may make it alive, quicken it, and make it sensitive, and keep it pure. It means we have to apply biblical separation in our lives, in our ministry. For example, if we live in a pure environment, and we will be used to it, and if there is a bad smell somewhere, our smell will distinguish right away, will detect right away, and we cannot stand that bad smell. But if we live in a dirty, unclean environment, smelly environment, and our smell, our sense of smell, we may be used to it, and we will not see it is stinky again. And it is very dangerous when we keep on living in sins, in wrong doctrines, against God's standards, against God's word. So may God help us to keep our heart, our conscience pure all the time in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and live and keep a close fellowship with Him. If He, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all our sins. So to keep our conscience good, we have to keep our close fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Keep pure and be controlled, directed by God the Lord, by His word. We are led, we are guided by the Lord and by God's word, not by our conscience. But if our conscience is tuned to God's standard, it is a good witness for us. Good witness for us. Like Martin Luther, when he asked to recant his beliefs and his writings, he said, "My conscience is bound in the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything." It is unsafe and dangerous to act against my conscience. I cannot do it otherwise. Here I stand. May God help me. Amen. My dear friends, if our conscience is good and tuned to God's standard, when we cannot live or act against God's word, we also cannot live and act against our conscience. It's a blessing. It's a good. So may God bless you and me. Now let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks today for creating us with a conscience. But due to the fall of Adam and Eve, it is depraved, corrupt, unreliable, and defiled, and evil. Oh Father, our conscience may be bound to sins, our wrong doctrines. May Thou search our hearts and conscience, and cleanse us and deliver us. May the Holy Spirit sanctify us, separate us from sins and own wrong doctrines, and may Thou tune it up to Thy standard, to the perfect example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to look unto Jesus Christ always, not unto man, and to compare ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and with Thy word. O Father, may Thou search our hearts and cleanse us, and make our conscience sensitive with full discernment, so that in these last days of apostasy and compromise, we may discern what is truth and what is falsehood, so that we may not be deceived. Help us to keep our conscience pure, and help us to have good conscience before Thee all the time, as a living and holy sacrifice unto Thee. We commit all of us unto Thee. May Thou bless our beloved pastor, Reverend Timothy Thor. We are concerned when he is not with us this morning. May God strengthen him and preserve him and give him more years of ministry so that he may lead the college and lead to life. Until Jesus Christ comes back again. We give thanks to thee for thy grace and mercy upon us. And we ask thee with thanksgiving in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.